May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 860. From poisonous errors, pleasing cheats, and gilded baits of sin, which, swallowed as delicious meats, infect and rot within. Lord, pardon a backslider base, returning from the dead, ashamed to show his shameful face, or lift his guilty head. Hymn 860.
to bless his word to our souls this evening. Let's turn again to the epistle of Paul, to Peter, the first epistle, and read chapter 2. The first epistle of Peter, and reading chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honour all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honour the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviles not again. When he suffered, he threatens not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. God instruct us from his holy word and help us to come to him in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty, most gracious and merciful Lord God, once again we're thankful to have been enabled to assemble here this evening to worship the ever-living and true God. And Lord, we pray earnestly that as we are here now before thee, O Lord, may it be indeed like it was in the house of Cornelius, when they were all gathered together to hear what God the Lord would say unto them. Oh Lord, may it be so tonight that we come together not just by tradition, but because we need to hear what the Lord will speak to our souls. Oh, we pray earnestly, gracious God, that our time together tonight of worship may be a time of blessing for our souls, and also a time when thy great and holy name is honoured and glorified. O Lord, leave not our souls destitute. O gracious God, how we need the Holy Spirit to come and influence everything that is said. O Lord, we pray then that we may know the Lord is here. Lord, by the influence of the Holy Spirit in our own hearts. For Lord, we do believe indeed that thou art here with us because of the promises in the word of God. Lord, we think of that word where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we believe that. But oh, we pray, Lord, tonight, we may not only believe it in our head, but we may know it in our heart, by the blessed and powerful work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so we pray, Lord, that tonight we may go out of this place, this building, a different person from that which we came in. Lord, whatever that may mean, in thy good and determinate will, grant, Lord, that there may be some word, some effect in our heart, so that we are able to declare the Lord was there. Oh, we pray earnestly, gracious God, then, to come and visit our souls. Lord, help us to realize we're hastening through this little life of ours upon this earth. And Lord, may we indeed ask that question, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven, are thy credentials clear? Is Jesus Christ thy only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Oh, we pray tonight that Jesus Christ and him crucified may be lifted up, may be exalted, so that our hearts are drawn out to such a Saviour. And we can indeed come and declare, oh, what a Saviour. We pray, gracious God, then, that the Holy Spirit of God will come upon us in this way, to bless us indeed. Lord, hear our united cry to this end. But Lord, we believe we have a great God. A God who is not only mighty, but a God who is almighty. A God who is able to do far more and exceeding abundantly than we can ask or even think. Grant, Lord, tonight our faith may be increased, that we may stretch out in faith and be blessed with that view of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, gracious Lord, do come, we pray. Oh, do reveal thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Lord, we so desire we may see the evidence of that Holy Spirit working in each soul, young and old, and everyone in between. And Lord, help us to realize the shortness of our life, and soon we must stand before the God of all the earth, of the whole creation. Oh Lord, we pray then that when that day comes, we may indeed be clothed in that spotless robe of Christ's righteousness. We may not be depending upon ourselves, but Lord, may all our hope be in what Christ has done, that great and glorious finished work. And Lord, may we tonight know that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that when we leave this world, it will be well with our soul. Oh Lord, then do bless us, we pray. Once again we come and give thanks for the Word of God, for the truths that it contains. Oh Lord, for the exhortations which we find therein, for the instructions and directions and corrections. Oh Lord, give us that grace to examine ourselves in the light of thy word. Oh Lord, let us not just carry on in an aimless way in this poor old world, but oh Lord, grant that we may ever be concerned to be right for eternity. And so Lord, bless us then, we pray. Come Lord and touch our hearts, for Lord, we need thee, that we need thee every hour, we need thee every moment of our life. We need thee now, Lord. And so, graciously come, and reveal thyself unto us, as thou dost not unto the world. Once again, Lord, we will be thankful indeed for every blessing and favour that we do receive. Help us again and again to recognise the mercies of the Lord. O Lord, indeed, thou art new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. Oh Lord, we're thankful for it. But we have to come, Lord, and confess our unfaithfulness. Oh Lord, we have to come and confess the sins which do so easily beset us. So we pray, gracious God, our desire may be to live an upright, holy life. Lord, not for our own exaltation, but for the exaltation of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, turn us away from the vanities of life. Oh, Lord, all those things which come and crowd into our minds. Oh, Lord, we pray that we may not be distracted tonight. Oh, Lord, how easily our minds are turned. But we seek, gracious God, that our minds may be controlled tonight. Oh, by thy Spirit, so that truly we are attentive to hear what God the Lord will speak to us. We pray, Lord, that it may be so. And indeed, day by day in our journey through life, oh, give us grace, Lord, to turn away from sin. Oh, Lord, and notice the weakness of our flesh. Lord, we wouldn't hide under that. But Lord, thou knowest, left to ourselves, how weak we are. Oh, we pray, Lord, we may know the blessing that the apostle was able to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so may we know the blessed strength of the Saviour day by day as we move on through this life. And may we be found amongst those who are looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May, Lord, our lives show forth that here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And so, Lord, we pray then that will be with us here tonight. We think, Lord, of the world at large. We think, Lord, of the Church of God. We think, Lord, of those who preach the gospel today and those who will still preach it. We pray, Lord, that where thy people have assembled together, perhaps in twos and threes, perhaps in large numbers, perhaps in the outdoors, Lord, perhaps in a small building, perhaps in a room, wherever it may be, we pray, gracious God, that much may have been done today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that as thy word is sent forth throughout this world, we're thankful, Lord, that it is still sent forth into many, many countries. And Lord, as thy word continues to be translated into some of those more obscure languages, O Lord, do grant me translators grace, wisdom, understanding, faithfulness to produce an honest and correct translation. O Lord, help them, we pray. We know often this is a tremendous labour. We pray, Lord, that in due time thy word may be translated into more and more languages, that more and more people may be able to read the word of God for themselves. And Lord, as we think of this fact, how wonderful it is, Lord, and how we desire to thank thee that we have the word of God in our own language, have done for centuries. O Lord, and been most of us here, if not all, been brought up with an open Bible. Lord, what a great blessing. But we pray, Lord, we may count it a privilege, that we may love to read the word of God. Lord, let it not be a dry book. Let it not, Lord, be a book that we just read by in a formal way, just by tradition. But Lord, may thy word indeed speak to our souls. Indeed, O Lord, as we read this morning, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. O Lord, we're thankful then for such an enduring word. We're thankful to have the word of God that we can rely upon as the truth of God. And Lord, do then grant it may be blessed to our souls. We may be built up in our most holy faith as we read the great and glorious truths in the word of God. We come, Lord, and pray for our nation. We pray for our government, Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Deliver us, Lord, from those efforts of ungodly men to pass laws contrary to thy law. O Lord, we see the adversary of souls making headway here and there, often, Lord, creeping in the back door. Lord, we are always unaware of some of those things which occur. But Lord, our confidence, our hope is in the Lord. And Lord, do frustrate all the efforts of ungodly men to reduce the privileges which are ours today in worship. And Lord, in those things which are taught in schools, oh Lord, grant that we may have that freedom still to teach those things which are right and true and in accordance with the word of God. And Lord, may we each realize in our little lives we're not to settle down in a cozy corner. But Lord, help us to realize, as thy word declares, ye are my witnesses, and that we are the light and salt in this dark day. We pray, therefore, our life may show forth thy praise. We may be a good example. And Lord, that men and women, boys and girls, may take knowledge of us, that we have been with Jesus and have learned of him. O Lord, look upon us each then for good. And now, Lord, do come. Do come and meet with us. Do come and bless our souls. Leave us not, neither forsake us, O God of our salvation. We ask you for the forgiveness of every sin in the all-pervading name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1035. Return my wandering heart to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. Hymn 1035.
May be pleased to bless us together this evening. I will speak to you from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and reading the first clause in verse 7. The first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, and the first clause in verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. we can evaluate our religion, we can evaluate our standing before God as to whether such a statement is true in our spiritual life. And as we've gathered here to worship tonight, it would be good if we are to look into our hearts and to observe whether such a statement is true. It comes down to this, really. What think ye of Christ is the test. We can let really everything else go, but it's what you and I think of Christ. And if we are blessed with the life of God in our soul, and if the Lord is working in us, then there will be, I believe, that response in measure. Not what we would want, but at least in measure. To be able to come and to say yes, by the grace of God, which it is. He is precious. Now, my friends, all of us here tonight need to be able to say that before we die. Because the Lord Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, is to be honoured and glorified in our lives. And therefore it is important for every one of us to be able to say, by the grace of God, yes, I believe. It won't be in any great way, but to humbly say, in dependence upon the Lord, yes, unto you therefore, which believe, he is precious. And I can say, by the grace of God, he is precious to me. The apostle continues in his letter, as we know in the original there aren't any chapters, so he continues in this little epistle by saying, wherefore, having followed on from the previous chapter where he speaks about the word of God enduring forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, wherefore, laying aside, now he's speaking here about the church of God, he's speaking about those who indeed are, in accordance with the opening verses, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And he is speaking in this way to them, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. And that's a comprehensive statement, isn't it? But if you and I are to profess that Christ is precious to us, then we will desire to be found walking in this way, because this is the way Almighty God has set before us, to his people, to his church. And it means what it says, laying aside, laying these things aside. See, I can speak very freely tonight, so I don't know any of your personal situations. Laying aside all malice. Oh, my friends, is there any malice? If there is, we cannot, but we do not truly believe Christ to be precious. Malice against one another, guile, or what evil that is, to be guileful in our speech. What does that mean? It means not being totally honest. It means just going aside from direct truth and guileful in our answer, in the things that we speak and the things we say, and hypocrisies. Oh, my friends, we don't want to be left to be a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? Someone who is pretending to be what they're not. Are you pretending tonight to be a Christian when you're not? Because if that is so, you might convince people, but you will never convince God. Doesn't matter what people think. Don't worry what people think. Worry what God thinks. And so, laying aside, put it away. If you are a hypocrite, and God knows, and you know, whether you are a hypocrite. And you are a hypocrite if you pretend that Christ is precious when he's not. And enemies, not to envy people. And evil speakings, not to speak evil. Not to speak evil of anyone. Evil speakings. These are all things which do not confirm that Christ is precious. They confirm really that Christ is not precious. Let us not be found then in that way. The apostle lays it down very straight and square, doesn't he? We need to listen to God's word speaking to our hearts. It's not the word of a man, it's the word of God. And then he comes and says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It means that we are to become, as a babe, little children. Yes, come right down. Not to think we're any great person. Not to think that people look up to us. But to come to this place where we're just like little babes. Newborn babes. What does a newborn babe desire? Well, I'm sure we're all familiar with a newborn babe. What does it desire? Desires its mother's milk. And often, newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, is that true in our hearts? Do we desire the sincere milk of the word? That means the truth of God. And the sincere milk of the word must, of course, direct us to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we? Do you, do I desire to know Christ? The sincere milk of the word is Christ and him crucified, that we may grow thereby. There is that prayer often quoted, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's a good prayer. Does it come from our heart? Does it come from a simple heart, desiring these things, the sincere milk of the word? If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, if you and I have tasted that the Lord is gracious, it would mean that the Lord has been mindful of us. It would mean the Lord hasn't left us to just carry on in this vain world. It would mean that the Lord has touched us. He's put his hand upon us. It may have been that he stopped us in our mad career. We weren't very happy at the time. Perhaps there was things that came into our life which stopped us doing things. We weren't happy about it. But, bless God, if the Spirit of God then demonstrated to us that it was the Lord who was putting his hand upon us to stop us doing certain things. It may be that we were taken ill, we were ill. We might have been looking forward to doing some worldly enterprise. And the Lord put his hand upon us so that we weren't able to do it. Perhaps at the time, we weren't very happy. But then, as we saw, the Lord's grace and mercy toward us, what is it? It's tasting. The Lord is gracious because his grace has come to us. We haven't been left to ourselves. Oh, what a blessing it is then to have this taste, the Lord's goodness. Yes, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Well, again, if we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, I believe it will lead us on into this position so that we will be able to say, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Because by the work of God in our hearts, we have the evidence of God's work there, and therefore we're given faith to believe the truth of God's word, and given faith to hope that his mercy is toward us. It hasn't cast us off. We deserved it. Every born-again sinner will know that they deserve to be cast out, to be cast off, and they will desire to bless the Lord for his mercy, for his favour, and for his blessing. And then he says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. As the Spirit of God moves in our heart, as that Spirit of God causes us to call upon the name of the Lord, as that Spirit of God comes and directs us to the Saviour, to realise then that we are built up a spiritual house. There is the work of the Spirit within us. And holy priesthood. And holy priesthood, you know. It's difficult for us to believe and understand, but as we read together later on in this ninth verse, but ye are a chosen generation. The church of God are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. That's a description of those who are found believing and can say that the Lord is precious. There are those who are blessed with this favour indeed of being a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. And so, as the apostle says, an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ means anything to us, if he's precious to us, that means if he is of great value to us, that means if all our hope is resting in what Christ has done, then we see here what the apostle says, and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice. It doesn't mean like it was in the Old Testament days to offer up animals on the altar. But now, in the New Testament days, here is this great truth: to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And these spiritual sacrifices really come down to this: doing the will of God, hearing his voice, following him in all that he directs us in. And if we are to follow the Saviour, my friends, he is a despised and crucified man. It won't be an easy path. It will mean sacrifice. We may have to sacrifice our good name. We may be reviled like the Saviour was. As we read, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This spiritual sacrifices, which are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore it is contained in the scripture: behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. What a comforting word that is, that we will not be confounded. And what a blessing to know that the Spirit of God gives us that faith and that grace to come and to believe the Word of God, the truth of God. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in the Epistle to the Romans, and he speaks about those who speak and the effect of it. And he tells us this: that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart — this is the blessing, it's not believing in our head, it's believing in the heart. There was that account of Simon the sorcerer, who believed in his head, and he thought he could purchase the gift of the Holy Spirit with money. And the Apostle Peter said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. It was only a head knowledge. But read farther on in that chapter, we read about the eunuch. And he came and said, here is water, what hath hindered me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. It's the work of God in his heart. And so here we have this statement: if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when that Spirit of God works in our heart and shows us our state by nature, our sinful situation, to be found in calling upon God — that means praying unto God, that means crying unto God for his mercy and for his favour — at that time we don't realise the condition perhaps that we're in, but we know we have a need. There is that cry then: for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, of course, there's no point in calling upon someone if we don't believe in that person. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, of course, we cannot believe on someone unless we've heard about them. And how shall they hear without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So may we look to our own heart and see whether by the grace of God we have heard God's word. When it's come to our hearts, when it's touched our hearts, so that we do, by his grace, believe. The word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, my friends, it's the drawing power of God. And remember what Paul said when he quotes Isaiah. He says, Lord, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the earth. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. What a true word that is. So looking at your own life and my life, the Lord sought us out. The Lord found us. The Lord came to us. The Lord caused us to cry unto him, to seek unto him in a time when he might be found. And so those that believe on him shall not be confounded. Then we come down to these words. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So why should you and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if we've come to that knowledge of ourselves offending God's holy law, we realize that we have sinned against that law and that we are guilty. How are our sins to be taken away? Who can deliver us from the wrath to come? Look at ourselves. Are we sufficient in of ourselves? No, there's no sufficiency in us. We could not atone for our sins. And therefore, left to ourselves, we are lost and ruined in the fall. What does that do? Where do we go? Well, the Word of God directs us to the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. You know what it is to be weary? Weary of yourself, worn and sad because of your sins. Nowhere else to go. And therefore, you come seeking the Lord. You come praying for mercy. You see the Lord will look upon you. The Lord will not turn away his face. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And as that Spirit of God may direct you to the Saviour. And as we noted, he was reviled. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Think of the Saviour, Almighty God, that one who made all things, the only begotten Son of the Father, who came into this world in order that he might save his people from their sins. Now, if you and I were guilty of doing some great wrong, insofar that we were unable to free ourselves from the sentence which may have been put upon us, placed upon us, we didn't have the means so to do, if someone came along and paid that price to redeem us, would we not be very thankful and very grateful to that person? Well, we have here a far greater and more glorious person, because the price necessary to pay for our sins to be forgiven was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not an ordinary death. The death by crucifixion. Not only that, but the sufferings that the Saviour endured so that you and I might be set free from that condemnation of the law, the soul that sinneth it shall die. What was there in me to merit esteem? What was there in you and me? My friends, nothing at all. It's only God's mercy and God's love. Well, as we think of that, the Saviour walking on this earth for all those years, the last 3 years of his life, shown forth to the world, and suffering so much ignominy, misjudged, and then finally, as we view that scene in the upper room, the Lord Jesus Christ instituting the Lord's Supper in love to his church. Oh, is Christ precious in that? So that his church are able to commemorate his dying love in that Lord's Supper. What a blessing it is to be able to sit around that table of remembrance, to remember what he's done on our behalf. Therefore, which believe, he is precious. And as we meditate upon that, and my friends, never tire of coming to the cross, never tire of going to Gethsemane, and realizing what the cost of our salvation was. The Saviour came and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Saviour willingly endured. And as we read, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, being in an agony. Oh, do not underestimate the cost of salvation. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. What a wonderful thing it is to think of the Saviour so willing to suffer in our place. And to think of those sins which we do, sins which perhaps we continue to do. Oh, is Christ precious? If we think upon the sufferings of Christ, then as he went to that judgment hall, there he was, mocked, spat upon, purple robe put upon him, crowned with that crown of thorns, lashed upon his back. Oh, utter humiliation. The Saviour did these things so that you and I might receive the gift of eternal life. Oh, friends, is Jesus precious tonight for what he's done? If it wasn't for Christ, no salvation, lost forever. May it be true, as the hymn writer says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Think of the blood he shed. Think of it, invaluable blood, so it was. As then he was taken to Calvary, put upon that cross in utter agony and weakness. He was so weak he could not carry his cross, my friends. The Son of God, suffering there in order to deliver our souls. Oh, what think ye of Christ tonight? Is he to you the altogether lovely? You know, we read in the Song of Solomon that description that the bride of Christ was able to declare of her beloved. You may remember the account in the fifth of the Song of Solomon, where we read of what the bride of Christ said. And she said this when she was really lukewarm in her profession. The Lord came to her, and she said, "I sleep and my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I've put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I've washed my feet. How shall I defile them?" You see the lukewarmness of the Church of God, and my friends, how true it is today. Comfortable in our little life. Satisfied. Just sit still. Don't want to be disturbed. Don't want to, as it were, go forth unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. Oh, is Christ precious? Well, we read, the Lord put his hand in by the hole of the door, and her bowels were moved for him. She rose up to open to her beloved, and her hands dropped with myrrh, and her fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. I wonder if you and I know anything of that experience. Christ has come to us, as it were, by night. The Lord has, as it were, put his hand in. But no, we were just too carnally minded, too satisfied with the things of this poor world. Well, she says, she rose up. She opened, but there was no answer. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Oh, what a sad time it is with the Church of God. If we, as it were, turn our back upon the Lord, and then when we think we'll call, there's no answer. My friends, may we be ready to hear God's word speaking to us. And so she says, I opened to my beloved, and she called him, and there was no answer. She went out about the city. The watchmen, who are the preachers, they smote her. Yes, as she listened to the preaching of the gospel, it smote her because of the condition that she'd been found in, because of her lukewarmness. Didn't get comfort there. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, the Church of God, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. And then the church asks her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou hast so charged us? Simply it means this. What does Christ mean to you? What's the answer? What's the answer? Church of God, come to you and say, what think ye of Christ? What is he more than other people? Well, she gives a lovely account of Christ. Beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. The chiefest among 10,000. My friends, that's what Christ should be to us. If we think of him dying on that cross, agonizing, bearing the wrath of God. Remember those, that time when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That tremendous burden of all the sins of his church, your sins and my sins. And yet the Saviour willingly carried those sins and fulfilled the great and glorious work that his Father had given him to do. My friends, he didn't fail. Oh, can we say, yes, this is my beloved. So, the chiefest among 10,000. We won't go down through the rest of the verses. We come to the last verse, which reads, his mouth is most sweet, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Yes, although she'd been in this lukewarm place, she knew who her beloved was. And she was able to describe him. So tonight, as we've come here together to worship God, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, if we were to be asked tonight, well, why is Christ precious? How would we respond? Well, we say, yes, his mouth is most sweet. The words he speaks to my soul are so encouraging and so strengthening. Everything I see in Christ is altogether lovely. He is indeed the chiefest among 10,000 and the altogether lovely. It is finished. The words of the Saviour, those conquering words, it is finished. No doubt the devil thought he'd won the battle, Christ had died. But oh no, Lord Jesus died but rose again. Yes, he conquered sin, death, hell and the grave. The word of God encourages us in this way. We are more than conquerors through him. Oh, through him. My friends, Christ must have the praise. He must have the honour and glory. You know, when the church of God gets a glory, they'll go to praise the Lord. And the song will be, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And the church of God won't get to glory unless they've praise God on this earth. What is our song tonight? Do we come and say with Peter, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Precious because of what he's done. So valuable. What a great and glorious work. And I'm so unworthy. I'm such a sinner. I'm a black sinner. I don't deserve any favour. And yet, the Lord looked upon me. He looked upon Peter, didn't he? Remember Peter? See, Peter was well equipped to write these words. Peter, in his own strength. Oh, he said, I would die for thee. Peter, before the cock crows, Twice I shall deny me thrice. Peter didn't know his weakness. But when that came to pass, what occurred? The Saviour looked to Peter. He knew what would occur. He knows what occurs, will occur in your life and my life, what has occurred perhaps. What a blessing if we may have turned our back upon the Lord. And as it were, he's turned in love and compassion and looked upon us. My friends, there weren't any words spoken. But though that look pierced Peter, pierced his heart, he went out and wept bitterly. Yes, it's the fact of the gracious work of the Spirit in our hearts, so that we do go and weep before God, because the Saviour is precious, and we've been so evil, so backward perhaps, such sinners, turn our back upon the Saviour. And yet the Lord, we prove, is unchangeable. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. The Saviour is the same yesterday and today and forever. Glory be his name. Oh, this great and precious Saviour. He says in the last verse we read together, for ye were as sheep going astray. Yes, sheep going astray. But, we got a but in our life. But are now returned. Come back. Returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. The Lord watches over his people. He never forsakes them. He never forsakes them because he laid down his life for them. My friends, they were precious in his sight. Isn't it a wonderful thing? A wonderful thought that we are precious in the sight of the Saviour. And if that is so, then is not Christ precious to us? Oh, my friends, tonight, oh, may we have a right view of Christ. A right view of Christ. Give me Christ, or else I die, is such a true and important word. Because without Christ, we are forever lost. If Christ is not precious, there is no hope. You say, well, I'm not sure. I really can't honestly say that Christ is precious to me. Well, do you desire that Christ might be precious? Pray for it. Come to the Lord. He will not turn you away. He said, come unto me, all that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the promise of this precious Saviour. This one who deals with his children, yes, in love, in mercy, showing forth his wondrous grace to such unworthy sinners. Oh, then, to see and to view the Saviour in this way, as that heavenly shepherd and bishop of our souls who watches over us. David was able to declare, the Lord is my shepherd. The church of God can also declare, the Lord is my shepherd. That one who's watched over us and leads us here and there, so that by his grace we are able to come and declare such a truth as this. Yes, the Lord to me is indeed precious. And indeed he's precious because of that which he's done for us. Remember, we spoke of just very briefly this morning and read together, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, all those things, good as they may be, to leave aside, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. No wonder was it John the Baptist came and said, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, that you and I might behold that Lamb of God taking away our sin. And if we view him by faith, dying upon Calvary's cross to take away our sin, then he will be precious. He'll be precious. Yes, so says the apostle, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, not in self. Oh, my friends, look out of ourselves. Look to the Saviour. Indeed, those glorious words in Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be saved, for I am God and there's none else. No, there's nowhere else to go. Sinner tonight, there's nowhere else but to come to the Saviour. To hear his gracious words of invitation. And as the Lord says, he will indeed receive us. He will not say us nay. No, he will receive us. And then to rejoice in his mercy and in his favour and his blessing. And to therefore confirm these words to the honour and glory of God. Oh, my friends, don't forget, the life of the Church of God is for the honour and glory of God. Oh, to be able to testify of his love and mercy, and to be able to come and declare, yes, Christ is precious to me. He is all my hope for time and for eternity. Blessed be God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £650, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn number 400. Lord, afford a spring to me, let me feel like what I see. Ah, my winter has been long, chilled my hopes and stopped my song. Winter threatens to destroy faith and love and every joy. If thy life was in the root, still I could not yield thee fruit. Hymn number 400.
My soul.
Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Eternal Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and for ever. Amen.